Question everything.
So I actually already recorded the intro to this episode, but I wanted to make another disclaimer also because I am recording this on film now or on video. I want to start uploading my podcast as video, so I'm trying to test the waters out here and see if it works or not and if I'm comfortable doing it. I mean, most of the reason why I don't post my face on YouTube with my podcast like a lot of podcasters do is because I'm more comfortable not being filmed and not on camera. I sound kind of hypocritical because I did start on TikTok, but I don't know, there's something about TikTok where it's just like it seems like not a lot of people are watching you, you know, but even though a lot of people are, I don't know, it just felt more personal. It felt kind of like Snapchat rather than being on YouTube in front of so many people. So anyways, I'm just testing the waters out for this. So if you're listening, you can check out this podcast also on YouTube. I uploaded my interview and conversation with Vandita on there too, and hopefully future episodes will be uploaded on YouTube as well. So yeah. Also, I wanted to give a disclaimer for this episode. We do talk about past lives, karma, all that stuff. So I know that a lot of people have different opinions on past lives, reincarnation, karma, all that good stuff. I just want to say that, as always, take what resonates and leave what doesn't. Not everything that I put out or not everything that you see is going to resonate with you, and that's perfectly fine. And I always say that, but this is just a little disclaimer because I know that not a lot of people believe in this stuff or agree with it. And that's perfectly fine. The way I see it and the way I see taboo things like this, I guess you could say it's taboo, is that for me, it's the truth. Like, this is my reality. This is my reality and this is my truth. So for me, I don't have to believe in it to have it be my truth. Does that make sense? It's almost like saying you have to believe in a dog for it to be a dog. You know, it just is what it is to me. Okay, and this is my reality, this is my world, and everyone lives in their own subjective reality. And I mean, I can get into that in another episode in regards with time and this dimension. So the way I see it is like, I don't have to believe in it. So I don't like to say that I believe in this stuff. I say like, I look into it, I research it, I'm intrigued by it because it is what it is. Like, it's the truth to me, you know? So that's my take on it. It might not be your truth, and that's totally cool. I appreciate you listening to this episode regardless, even if you don't believe in this stuff or you don't agree or whatever. Like, I appreciate you for being here. So thanks for tuning in and listening in. So I hope you guys enjoy. This is a quick disclaimer. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy. And give me feedback if you like the video. I don't know if I'm comfortable with it yet, but we'll see. All right. Bye, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Question Everything with your girl, Kelsey. All right, so I just finished recording my episode with Vandita. She's a soul coach. She reads past lives. She taps into the Akashic Records, and we talked about all of that stuff, all about healing past life karma, how to know if you have past life karma, our soul contracts, all the good stuff that I've always been talking about. So it's really cool to hear it from someone who actually does it on a daily basis. She is amazing, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy this. But before, I did want to talk about my experience and my own reading, because I did do a reading with her last week, and just because I've been wanting to do a past life reading so bad, just to know if I'm on the right track, am I fulfilling my life purpose, and have I fulfilled any of my karma from my past lives. So yeah, it was really interesting, actually. So I did it with her last week, and how she does it is she meditates on my energy for about an hour before the reading. And then we get on Zoom and we talk about what she found. And of course, I had my own questions about why can't I tap into my psychic abilities? I feel like I'm blocking them. And then also some other karmic stuff with my karmic, some karmic relationships that I've had and why I struggle with that. So She's done many readings, but she said that I'm the first client to have so much alien DNA, which is so freaking cool. She said that I'm 80% alien DNA and like 20% human, which makes a lot of sense. She said that this is my first lifetime on Earth in hundreds of years. And that also makes sense as to why I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand humans, their fascination with money, the system. And that makes so much sense to everything. Even looking back on my childhood at how weird I was just always that kid that stood out and wore like the weirdest clothes, did the weirdest things. I don't know. Even you can ask my mom, you can look at the pictures. I have so many pictures from when I was a kid. But of course, that was also before conditioning and going through a lot of bullying that I had to kind of step out of that weirdness and become normal until now when I talk about taboo things, which is also another thing that I've been doing a lot in my past lives. So anyways, let me backtrack. So she told me that when she entered the Akashic and asked the librarian, because it's basically like a big library, a big iCloud of past lives and souls and all that good stuff. She asked the librarian where my stuff was, and the librarian pointed up, and she said that she has never been upstairs, which is so cool. I mean, well, at that point, I was like, either I've done something really bad or I've done something really good. I don't know. So anyways, as she was walking towards my library, I guess, she said that she started walking up this big, like, royal staircase, and it led up to these big, giant doors. And as she was describing it, I had a flashback to a dream that I had a year ago that I actually have written in my journal, and it matched what she was saying. And in my dream, I went up these stairs and I opened the doors and everyone was celebrating me, and it was crazy. So she was like, yeah, that was a premonition to this conversation we were going to have, because it was going to come full circle for you to realize that you were coming home to yourself. And I was like, wow, like, that's crazy. I got the chills. It was amazing. So she gets up there, and I guess I've been a very important person in all my past lives. And she said that I've been a part of royalty. I've been a queen in many lives. I've always been like a leader. In my last lifetime, actually, I was a commander in chief in one of the galaxies in the sixth dimension. So that's really cool. So that was my last lifetime before this one, which goes into a lot of what happened throughout my childhood, which I will explain in a second. She said that the first question she asked is, why am I blocked from all my psychic abilities and all that stuff? One of my lifetimes on Earth, one of few, because I've only been here a couple times, she saw me in like a Chinese village practicing witchcraft and practicing taboo things. And then that in all my lifetimes, like I said earlier, I've been always about the taboo things, things that aren't normal because I'm not from here. So I want to try everything. So I guess someone found me doing that and they killed me. So subconsciously, I'm afraid to tap into my gifts because I feel like I'm going to get prosecuted for it again, which makes sense at a subconscious soul level. But now that I know that, I'm trying to heal that and trying to overcome it so I can actually step into that. I'm also a part of the Lyran starseeds. So the Lyrans are a feline being, a feline alien being group of people. They're from the constellation Vega, and apparently our planet got destroyed, and that's when we came down and built the pyramids. So I have a connection to ancient Egypt as well. And I mean, when she talked about the Lyrans, I never knew what starseed group I came from. I always assumed I was a starseed, and you guys know, I always talked about how I felt like I was a starseed. So I always resonated more with the Lyrans or the Palladians. I thought I was either one of those, just because the Lyrans are feline, and I love cats, and I've always had a cat. I've had a strong connection to cats, but not only that, a lot of their characteristics align with mine. Some of them are fearlessly going into your purpose, bold, hold a lot of masculine energy, which I do, and that's also another blockage of a lot of things that I have right now, so I'm trying to balance the masculine energy with the feminine energy. I also am a natural leader. I'm drawn to the stars, problem solver. I sense an underlying truth in art. I believe in human potential. People trust me and gravitate towards me. I dislike authority figures, which is so true. So true. I'm quiet and reserved. I can cope with challenges. My happiness doesn't depend on external circumstances and very independent. And another thing that the Lyran starseeds have, they're very clumsy, and I am so freaking clumsy. But anyways, a lot of their traits match with me or resonated with me from a while ago. So when she said I was a Lyran, I was like, whoa, like everything just clicked and I got the chills. I was like, yes, I am. I even have a lion tattoo. Like, what? So anyways, yeah, I have a connection to ancient Egypt because of the Lyrans, because the Lyrans are supposedly the ones who built the pyramids, but also she saw that in my past life. She said she saw me in Egypt, and apparently I was a part of a group who put something in the pyramids, a crystalline energy into the pyramids, but I told the group it's not time yet, and the humans are not ready. So I don't know what that means. I'm trying to still figure it out. Maybe I should go back to Egypt in this lifetime to figure it out. But apparently I left something for my future self, which is, I guess, me now. I don't know. And then, so in this lifetime, I guess when I was younger, when she was explaining this, a lot of memories came back, but not fully vivid. A lot of my childhood memories are fuzzy. And she said that when I was younger, a group of, I think, Syrian beings from the Syrian Council, because I was a commander-in-chief in my last lifetime and I was extremely powerful, no one really wanted to mess with me then. Because I'm a human now, they're like, oh, look, commander-in-chief is a human. Let's go mess with him. So when I was younger, they would come to me at night and basically drill in my head a bunch of thoughts that weren't mine and what they wanted me to say, kind of like steer me the wrong way or mess me up. But I guess they weren't malevolent. They were just immature and trying to fuck with me, which is kind of funny. But now I've taken my power back, and she taught me how to do that as well. We also talked about that a little bit. I don't want to make this whole episode about my past life, but I'm going to talk about the most significant parts that she talked about, and also because we talked about it throughout the episode. Another thing is I was a part of royalty, or I was a queen in a lot of lifetimes, and in one lifetime, I abused my power. So I'm kind of fulfilling that karma in this lifetime by exposing those in power who abuse their power. So that's pretty cool. And she said that I am on the right path, which is amazing. And I was so happy to hear that I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. And I've always felt like I have been in regards to my content and TikTok. When I started TikTok and when I started my podcast, I was like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. I don't know why, but I just came out of nowhere, but I feel like this is it. And she said that, yeah, I'm on the right path. And basically my sole mission in this lifetime is to unveil secrets. And like I said, expose those in power who are abusing their power, because in the past life, I have done the same. So I'm fulfilling that karma, which is so cool to kind of put everything together in perspective of how karma works and fulfilling that karma. And I'm just super excited for what's to come in regards to my life and the podcast and everything else. But yeah, those are like the significant points that she said. I think she got it spot on. I think me barely being human is really funny. Just, I don't know, like I said, reflecting back on my childhood, reflecting on the way I see life now as an adult, and not understanding a lot of things that people do or why they do it and their motivations and or saying the wrong things because I don't understand. Like, do you know what I mean? I mean, if you've been with me for a while, you know what I mean. Like, I also see things way deeper than others. And I know that's so cliche, like, oh, I see things way deeper than most people. No, but I see things so profoundly. Like, I see through the bullshit. I see through the lies. And a lot of people don't see it that way and may call me insensitive, you know, as it has happened before. But again, we talk about that too. We talk about a lot of things and hopefully things that will help you guys or help click something in you to get one. I recommend you get a past life reading if you're being called to. I've been called to do one for so long. I've just been pulled and wanting to know more about my past lives and especially my karma. Like, what did I do to deserve all this? I'm just kidding. I appreciate my life and everything I've been through and everything I'm going to go through. But yeah, it explains a lot. It explains a lot of the way I see things, a lot of the way I see life. And hopefully I can tap into that alien DNA soon. I still have a lot of work to do and a lot of healing, of course, but we'll get there. Stay tuned. Stay for the ride. I hope you do. So anyways, without further ado, let me stop boring you with my soul's lifetimes. Let me welcome Vandita. And I will leave all her links and everything down below. So if you want to book with her, if you resonate with her, I 100,000% recommend her. She's amazing. She's very intuitive and has amazing content on TikTok as well. And she's also a doctor. Who would have thought? Anyways, let's welcome Vandita. All right. Welcome, Vandita. Welcome to Question Everything. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Is that how you pronounce your name right, Vandita?
That's how I tell people it's pronounced. It's actually Vandita, which Vandita. Is the Indian way of saying it, but you can call me whatever. I'll respond to anything.
Okay. All right. So for those of you who, or for my listeners who don't know you, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah. So, my day job, I'm actually a doctor, which I know is a lot different than what I do now, but, what I like work with people on and what you and I connected over is that I'm a past life reader. So I open Akashic records for people. I can see past lives. I'm also really good at connecting to people's spirit guides. So oftentimes people will come to me it's almost like their spirit guides bring them to me because they've been trying to get a message through to them and they just won't listen or they can't hear. And so I think of myself as just a channel for whatever information wants to come through, but there's usually very clear messages for clients about what their spirit guides want them to hear.
How did you get to that position? How did you know that you could tap into that?
So about 4 years ago, I was in residency. So I was working about 100 hours a week. I was really depressed, clinically depressed. I got actually hospitalized for depression. And it was at that point where I realized, like, all right, my life needs to change. Something's not right here. And at that point, I had never had any kind of spiritual background. I was an atheist until then. And then I actually just started kind of reading about the universe. And slowly through that, I started to feel like I wasn't so alone. And everything I do, I'm so passionate about it because it's helped me so personally before. So past life readings and Akashic records readings, there was a woman that I used to go to who no longer does them, but those readings really changed my life and made me realize how much more there was to life than what I was looking at and what I was seeing. And it really helped me heal a lot of my past life patterns with family and friends and all kinds of stuff like that. And then after a while, I really was just like, I think I can do this for myself. And I became really good at that. And then people would start asking me to do it for them. And at first I was really hesitant because I was like, it's not going to resonate and they're going to think I'm nuts, but it kept resonating with people. And then I was like, okay, I guess I can do this. And then basically just started my TikTok because I wanted a place to talk about the stuff I was interested in. And I wanted a place where I could be fully myself, separate from this like doctor label that I have. And it just kind of took on a life of its own. So it just kind of shows you how if something's really meant for you, you can't miss it. It's going to happen, you know? So that's kind of my story.
That's amazing. And for my listeners who don't know what Akashic is and basically looking into the past lives, how can you explain that to them?
Yeah. So the Akashic records are, they're not a physical place. It's not a physical place on earth, but they are basically the record or the library of every soul's history in entirety. So every soul that's ever existed, will exist, or has existed, their soul's history is located in the Akashic records, which is on the 5D spiritual astral plane. So anyone can do this. I'm not like the only person on the planet that can do it, but it does take a lot of training in quieting your ego and tapping into your intuition in order to actually be able to interpret the messages. So basically what it means is that every single person has their own library. So like, for example, Kelsey, when I read for you, I was shown to a specific library with your soul's history, and everything from the carpet to the walls, to the windows looks very specific to you and your soul. So it's kind of the way that it looks to me in white light is like the Capitol building or like the Lincoln Memorial or something, like the Harvard Library. And it's just, I mean, it's endless. It's infinite space because time doesn't exist there. So you can see anything you want. You just have to come with a very clear intention. And that's why it takes a lot of work, I think, to get there, because if you have bad intentions or you're just using it for ego, they won't let you in. So it's okay. Which is good. Cause I think, you know, there's a lot of beings on this earth that would use that for negative reasons if they had the power to. So it's a place you can really only go if you're very, very centered in love.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. So since you tap into a lot of soul contracts and soul lives, do you know why we are here as humans, or what is, I know everyone individually has a soul contract, but like as a human collective?
I mean, here's the thing, even not from an Akashic Records perspective, I believe, and what I've been told and seen is that we choose to come, Earth specifically is one of the millions of planes that we could choose to come to. If we come to Earth to be a human, it's because there's specific emotional lessons that we want to learn that we don't have the opportunity to learn on other realms and other dimensions. So yes, the human experience is a very heavy one, but it's also one of the most transformative for a soul. So most souls that come here, number one, like you said, everyone makes a choice, but also it's about emotional mastery and learning to, you know, really tap into the positive polarity of any emotion that exists. And that's why some people get stuck in this cycle of reincarnation, because those lessons can be really hard. And negative emotion is much easier to get sucked into than positive emotion. So Earth is like the master school for emotion. And emotion is probably like the hardest lesson you have to master before you kind of ascend to these higher levels of being. And then a lot of us have already, you know, transcended that and are coming back to help lift up the rest of humanity into a higher vibration. So you're either here to learn the lesson yourself, or you're here to help spread that lesson and help teach other people. I definitely think you're here for that. And no matter what lesson you choose, when you come here, you forget what you came here for. And it's a rediscovery, and it can be hard. So I don't want to like sit here and say it's all light and love all the time, because even if it is, the lessons are hard and the work is heavy. But it's all important. And I do think that remembering that you chose to do this for some reason can help you on your hard days.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely can say that after you read me. So I've also read into how souls reincarnate with other souls that you've been with in past lives. Mm-hmm. So how do soul groups or soul families reincarnate together? Have you ever tapped into that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, soul families is a little bit of a, so your soul family is not necessarily your human family. Oftentimes we have had past lives with one or multiple of the members of our family, but your soul family is more so actually the family you create. So I see soul families more so being like groups of friends, or, you know, just even really like two very close friends, or even a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Those relationships are more kind of your soul family. It's the family you choose. Whereas like your actual physical family is typically very, very much chosen based off of the lessons you came to life to learn. And also to finish past life business. So karmic relationships, I talk about them a lot, about romantic relationships, but I would say even more than that, it's the parent-child relationship. That's very karmic. And even though you've had a lot of past lives with them, soul family to me feels more like the family that you don't have to work hard to be around, the family that feels like home. Mm-hmm. And I think that can really help validate a lot of people who don't feel like they fit in with their family, because that pressure to make your family be the place that you fit in is not necessarily how it was intended when we came to life. I think we chose our parents so that we could learn certain lessons and know that we always had our soul family that would be there for us. And our job is just to make sure that we're making ourselves available to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And it makes sense to a lot of what I went through in my childhood too, or what I had to go through with my parents and stuff. I know a lot of my friends too. And the people who ask me, like, why did I choose my parents if they caused me so much trauma and stuff? But if you look at it from like a lesson point of view, mm-hmm. it makes so much more sense. Like, oh, I had to go through this to learn independence or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. And also, like, I think it's important to know that, like, every time, like, yes, we have soul contracts, but we come into life with many different things we want to learn. And so say that your overall, I feel like for you, Kelsey, like what we really got from your reading was that your overarching theme of your life is about bringing the darkness into the light, like help, like exposing secrets or sharing the truth. But you also chose many hundreds of mini lessons, you know, whether it was about independence, whether it was about softness and kind of the divine feminine, like we talked about. And so every relationship, even if it doesn't all fit into your larger purpose of, you know, exposing the secrets, every single thing that happens to you is helpful for you in learning all these mini lessons. So it's almost like you just created this perfect cast of characters to learn everything you wanted to learn, you know? So not everyone serves every lesson, but I do believe that every single person in our lives is there for a reason, because there's 7 billion people and counting. For us to meet the, I don't know, 1,000 people in our life that really do something to us or have an impact on us, like, yes, we chose those, you know, a lot of times before the incarnation, but sometimes just in the moment too. And so, yeah, I don't think anything's a coincidence personally.
Yeah, me neither. I don't believe in coincidences. I always say that.
Oh, really? I love that.
So speaking of reincarnation and karma, so how do past life karma affects us? Like, I know we talked about it in our reading, but for my listeners, like, how does the past life karma affect them?
Mm-hmm. So past life karma it can be something really difficult, but it can also be pretty simple. So let me just share my own experience, because this has really been helpful for me. So in one of my past lives, my most recent past life, I was actually a German, like, teenager. I was very, very poor. And I got drafted into the Second World War. And I did not want to go to war. I was not sympathetic to the mission of the Second World War. I don't know what I'm allowed to say on here, but I didn't believe in what I was doing or working for, you know, that German regime or whatever, but I was forced to, because we were really poor. My parents thought it was this great honor, etc. So I did it. And then I actually died in a plane crash where I was flying the plane. I was a German fighter pilot. The plane went down and I was like trapped in this trench with the plane kind of like holding me to the ground for like 3 days. And I just kind of like bled out. It's very tragic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And now more than ever, I still remember, which is weird. I get these dreams all the time, but I do remember this past life really vividly. It was just staring into the sky, being like so resentful of everybody who I allowed to let me, like, allowed to control my life. Mainly my parents, but also just like thinking about I was a man in this life. So the girlfriend that I had left behind that I wanted to marry. And I was an artist in that life and I wanted to write poetry and, you know, the poems that I was never going to get to write. And just really thinking about how I let everybody else live my life for me. And, you know, I died with that resentment. And I think, you know, however you die is actually really important to how you come back in your next life. And when I died with that resentment, I feel like I came into this life an angry kid. Everyone always says that. And I was like very rebellious. I was always crying. I was always upset. I didn't listen to anybody. And I realized over the years that is actually my lesson to learn how to speak up for what I want. And I really decided to come into this life to learn freedom and to learn authenticity and to not let people tell me who to be. And, you know, I chose a family that has very particular beliefs and they're wonderful people, but they have a very certain way of looking at the world. And we see things very differently. And yes, that makes my life really hard. But my goal when I came into this life wasn't for an easy life. It was to learn freedom. It was to learn to be myself. Mm-hmm. And so by choosing family that sometimes made it difficult to be myself, I've mastered the lesson of learning to be myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how past life comes into play. It's not necessarily this black or white, like I killed someone, so now in this life I will be killed. Like, maybe that'll happen, but more often than not, and if you choose to, you know, like in your past life, you may have killed someone. And in this life, you may be the one who's, I don't know, you were affected by violence and now you advocate for victims of violence, you know, or there's lots of different ways of those lessons playing out and you get to choose, you know, you can choose the negative or the positive polarity of anything. I could have, if I had wanted to, since I had been so repressed in my last life, I could have come back here being like really angry and wanting to take revenge on people. But if I chose that, then I chose that, but I didn't, you know? So,
yeah.
That's how, does that make sense? Like how all those lessons kind of play out. And it's really interesting. My boyfriend in this life is the girlfriend from that life.
Aww.
And when we met, like immediately as I walked into the room, first of all, he's 7 years younger than me. And like, so we don't have, there's no way in a million years I would have looked at him otherwise, you know, like he doesn't fit anything on paper that I thought I wanted. But the minute I walked into the room and I saw him, my brain went, oh, there he is. And I was like, what? It was just the weirdest.
That's so cool though.
Instant connection. And then like a month after we started dating, one night I just had like, we both actually had the same like psychic vision where his face shapeshifted into the girl that he was in that life. And he could see my face shapeshift back into who I was. And, I could even feel like the last time that I saw him in that life, which was like leaving, I told him I was going to be back soon. And he left like all pissed off at me. And I just was like staring and again, didn't speak up for anything and didn't like advocate for the relationship. And then in this life, you know, I fell in love with someone 7 years younger than me who is very culturally different from me that I have to constantly explain to people, you know, how we get along, why we get along. And I didn't do that for her in that lifetime. And now I'm getting a chance to, you know, rewrite that. So it just, it's actually really poetic and like beautiful.
Yeah, I love
about
that.
It all coming together. And I feel like karma is really used to instill fear in people. And my whole goal is to, you know, help people realize that past lives and karma can be used to see things through love and through a positive lens, because fear-based ideologies are not going to last anymore. Like that's what this new world is about. It's about truth and love and like moving into a positive vision for humanity and for the universe. And I'm not going to like sit here and use, oh, you better like know about your past lives or they'll come back to haunt you. That's not how I get readings. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about like understanding and clarity and just having like polishing the mirror so you can see everything clearly. That's what I think of past lives as being, is that it helps you see why you have that difficult relationship with your mom. You know, there was a lifetime where my mom was my mom in that lifetime and I stole from her, and she like was very, she went to jail for something I did, you know, and I don't want to talk about my mom, but like those lessons come back and play out. And so that's why I just think it's so helpful, and it will help you too, because sometimes it's like, why do bad things happen for no reason? Yeah. Sometimes things happen for no reason in this life, but more often than not, it's connected to something that's happened before. And that's why those little things that people are like, it's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal to you because it's unfinished business from hundreds of years ago. So it is a big deal. You know, you've been waiting for that to become like finished, to complete it. Yeah. And so I think it gives closure. I think it gives clarity. I just like, as you can tell, I'm very passionate about it.
I love it. Can like diseases be passed on too? As karma, you know?
Well, actually, that's like an interesting question. I have not yet like had that come up in a reading, but I mean, just from a medical perspective, like epigenetics, I think is bigger than actual genetics, which is the influence of your environment on your genetics. So if your mom had a really difficult pregnancy and she was emotionally under stress, then yes, I do believe that you're like the kid will get, you know, is more predisposed to illness, but I haven't seen diseases being carried on from karma yet, but it might be true.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I've heard about it, from this other reader that she's on YouTube. She was talking about how, sometimes when you come into this lifetime with like you're blind or you're deaf, it's because of a past life that you have to acknowledge, I guess.
Oh yeah. 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 So, yeah, I would say like disabilities definitely can be, yeah, sorry. I was just thinking more of like things that happen, like one-off things, but yeah, like disabilities for sure. I think a lot of times it happens so that you can further understand or like enjoy life. I actually think sometimes people who have disabilities, like, yes, it's a more difficult existence, but they actually live a much richer life because all their other senses are forced to become more heightened. And so it's all about just the way I see it. A way I see life is that it's like a coin. So it's all about just viewing it from a different perspective. And as the coin rotates, you're seeing all different sides of a coin. So it looks round, but on its side, it looks, you know, like a flat oval. And so as souls, we want to see every single side of the coin. So you can always view it for good. And that might be like this Sagittarius eternal optimist side of me, but like, I always think that no matter what, like you can find the good in a situation. And I do think that beyond whatever something looks like on the surface, there's so much more meaning to it. So yeah, I think disabilities and diseases can definitely be part of that.
Awesome. I mean, not awesome, but good to understand, you know, because sometimes like, you're just like, why did I come in here? Cause I'm partially deaf. So, and like, I was looking into it, especially with my past lives, but
I never really understood. I was like, what did I do in my past life that now I'm like partially deaf? Mm-hmm. I'm also really blind.
Yeah. And you know, that's interesting. I'm also legally blind and I never think about it anymore, but, and as right as you said that about you, like you're, and this always happens, your spirit guides are here again now. So immediately they were like saying how, yes, you're partially deaf, but that also means that you actually hear more loud and clear than other people do. It's almost like your intuition is stronger because you can't hear as well. So you hear things that are unsaid. And it feels like you chose that on purpose so that you could hear, because it's almost like if you had your listening and your intuition with both of them as strong as they are, you wouldn't be able to discern between what you're hearing and what the truth is. But because your truth is so strong in the absence of like a strong sense of hearing, you can tell the difference between like truth and bullshit more easily.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
Does it? Okay.
Okay. So let's move on to a generational karma. Is that a thing? I guess generational in the sense of indigenous groups or like minority groups and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that's real. And I think a lot of us here on Earth, you know, speak going back to what our collective human mission is, there's a whole group of people here that it's here to break and heal ancestral trauma. And that's a lot of the work that I do. A lot of the work I do is like with women of color or, you know, Hispanic, white, I mean, Hispanic, Indian, Black people, because a lot of us are coming to realize that there's some real work that we're here to do. And it's this feeling of responsibility that you don't know where it's coming from. A lot of that is coming from needing to heal this ancestral trauma. Because if you think about it, so many of us, our ancestors, our grandmothers, especially, and all of the women in our lineage haven't had the opportunity to speak their truth, haven't had the opportunity to do anything for themselves. And so because we're at this crucial time in history where we actually have, I mean, yes, some of our freedoms are very much repressed, but we do have a relative amount of freedom that other people didn't have. It's a huge time to heal all that trauma. And when you do that, you change the course of your generation forever. So it's some of the most important work you can do. And I do believe that as we heal ancestral karma within ourselves, we heal it for everybody in our lineage, whether they're alive or dead, because you know, those souls still exist, even though they're not in human form anymore. And when you heal it for yourself and you heal it for your mom, you heal it for your grandma, you're like, that's going back into all of those souls, you know, and it's like having a ripple effect on more than the physical plane. So I think it's like some of the most important work that you can do. And it's absolutely real. I think so much of it is real. And so much of what I do in readings is trying to help people realize that, you know, people have this notion that they're selfish for wanting to do things for themselves. It's different than their culture or the way that they were raised. But when you do things for yourself, you're doing a disservice to everybody in your life and all of your ancestors if you don't take your opportunities, you know? It's more selfish to not do what you want to do than it is to do it.
Yeah.
Because all those people behind us wanted that chance and they didn't get it. And so if you have the chance, like take it. And I know it's hard, but that is so much of the work that I do is coaching people through that. So totally real.
Do you think that right now there's a bigger awakening or a bigger, attention to this generational karma stuff and such ancestral karma stuff? Because I've been seeing more about it on TikTok, more about it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's for a reason that it's happening right now in this specific era?
Well, I think that I've had this feeling. I don't know if anyone else teaches this. This is just my own personal feeling, but I've had this feeling that humanity is on, like the brink of something. Like it's either,
I feel that too.
Either do or die right now. And, I think, again, I'm an optimist. I think we're going to do, but I think that like, it's massive awakenings happening. Like these videos that I'm making on karma, like I would have thought 5 people would have watched them, but it's resonating with so many people. And that just tells you that, you know, people are waking up from conditioning, and that's what some people don't want us to wake up, but it's happening what is that term? Critical mass. Like we're reaching a critical mass of people that are waking up. And I don't know what, I really feel like it's a spiritual thing. Like, I feel like this is, time doesn't exist, but this time was always meant to be like a critical mass type time. And and that's another reason why I think so many of us chose to come right now. Cause it's really hard, but also it's like, and I told you this, Kelsey, like you've had thousands of lifetimes where you have been the one who had all this knowledge, like this ancient crystalline knowledge. And you knew that it wasn't the right time because you couldn't speak your truth yet. And so you came back at this critical juncture because if you came back too much after this, then it would already be done. You wouldn't get the chance. If you came too much before, you wouldn't have had the chance. So it's like the perfect time in history. If you're going to be a light worker, to like, go be the friggin' light. You know what I mean? So that's what I think. I think it's like really, I feel it in my gut that it's just, it's everything's happening right now. And it's just like domino effect. It's like one person says one thing and all you have to say is like, oh, you had a past life. And that's just triggering such like remembrances for people that it's causing like transformational shifts. And that's why certain systems like organized religion are like clinging on for dear life right now, because they know it's about to be the end, you know, and it's like their last ditch effort to not crumble to the ground. So that's what I think.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, the age of Aquarius has been brought up a lot too, which I think has a lot to do with it. But I think like it's the evolution of consciousness. We're going into the new earth. So it's going to be crazy. So how can people clear their karma without getting a past life reading? Or like, how can, I mean, I know that people can tap into it by themselves, but how can you clear karma without even realizing that it was karma, I guess?
So, I mean, there, the best way to do it, I think, is just like starting to do some shadow work. So I love shadow work. I think it's like the most important thing you can do. But basically I would start by just taking inventory. So this does involve a little bit of self-awareness, which is why meditation is a really good way, like a precursor to all this, because if you can't learn to be separate from your mind, then all the pain and the triggers that come up from shadow work, you know, it could be too much and it could be overwhelming. So I would say first, just start with like some kind of mindfulness practice. And then once you feel comfortable in that, start taking inventory of the things in your life that are really bothering you. So whether that's your pet peeve, just start with your pet peeves, honestly, like what really irritates you? What do you hate about yourself? Like get into the dark stuff and then start to see like where those patterns have consistently come up for you. Like, you know, just an example, like if you have a really hard time in relationships and not giving too much of yourself in relationships, write down every relationship in detail and what went wrong. And I guarantee you, you'll start to see patterns that repeat over and over and over again. And those aren't coincidences. Those are, yeah, well, like we can call it karma, or you don't have to, if you don't like that term, but things happen until we learn the lesson from them, you know? So now with the awareness that you have and taking a step between you and the situation, look back and say, okay, what would I have done differently to have made me feel better about that outcome? And then inevitably you will get the opportunity again. And then during that time, if you have a consistent shadow practice, and you have like some consistent inner, you know, mindfulness practice, then you'll be able to say like, oh shit, this is a pattern and I can do something different in this situation. And that's really all it takes. It's about like that same pattern coming up and being like, no, I'm going to do something different. I guarantee you once you do that, it won't happen again. Like it's wild how once you clear, like you decide to choose the lesson, like it's not some angry vengeful god just trying to like screw you over, it's just your own soul being like, oh shit, okay, didn't do it. It's like a video game and you're just like, okay, I'm gonna try again because I died in that life, you know, and you're just like gonna keep trying it until you learn the lesson. But once you say like no, or whatever the lesson is, whether it's like asserting boundaries or you know, not giving too much of yourself to a relationship, or you know, anything like that, any kind of like traumatic thing like that, once you decide that you want to do something different, it just doesn't happen again. So I think shadow work is the best place to start, but it does take a lot of awareness, because again, not only is it hard to recognize those patterns, but to sit with yourself as you explore like the negative emotion of all that, it's a lot. So if you need to like go do it with a trusted professional, but I really do think we're not meant to do everything alone. Like we're all one collective soul. So if you can find someone to help you that you trust, even if it's just a therapist or a psychologist that is open to the way that you think, then do it with them, because it's hard to do all that alone. And oftentimes we're not meant to.
I love that you brought up the video game, because I always explain it that way too. Like the video game levels, like you just got to learn and keep doing it. And then also the shadow work, because I talk a lot about shadow work. And I'm like, guys, you got to do your shadow work.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of investment in yourself. And I think that's what's stopping a lot of people. Like they don't have time and like busy lives and stuff. So, but I'm glad that a lot of things are changing now. So hopefully we'll get to a point where everyone can actually sit down, meditate and do some shadow work.
I mean, me too. Like I'm not, and that's the thing. Like, I'm sure you're not perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. Like every single spiritual person that you're watching, if they act like they have it all together, like unfollow them, because it's bullshit. Like there are days when I am just sitting on the couch, like having a panic attack for no reason. And yeah, I could do shadow work, but instead I decide to watch TV. Like I avoid shit just as much as everybody else does, you know? So like realize that it's not about perfection. It's just about doing something at least fairly consistently. And I feel like even after you do shadow work one time, the effect is like permanent, because once you see your shadow, you can't unsee it. It's just about like seeing it that one time. And I do like guided meditations for that. I feel like it does help, but if you can't visualize, then journaling is helpful too.
That's so crazy that some people can't visualize. I was looking into that because I guess some people don't hear and don't see. And I'm like, how do you think? How does that work?
I know. It's called, I looked it up too. I think it's called aphantasia, and people can't see images. And I feel for that. And that's why I think like you need to have like all these different tools that people can choose from, but it really isn't about one size fits all. And like, if everything I'm saying means nothing to you, then it's just not for you. And there's no pressure to make it work for you, because that's why we have all these options, so that you can pick the one that works. But yeah, I feel for those people, because visualization is like everything to me. I feel like I have to see everything to believe it.
Same. That's so crazy. And yeah, I always say take what resonates, leave what doesn't.
Yep.
It's not everything's going to resonate.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So let's talk about some of the past lives that you've read. What are the craziest ones or like you can talk about? And you can even talk about mine.
I mean, no, I'm not even saying this just because I'm talking to you. You're probably the craziest past life that I've read. A lot of it too with past lives is I see as much as their soul is like open to me seeing. So you had a very like open soul. So you were just like, look at everything. I don't care. You know? So I got to see a lot of really cool stuff, but like for you specifically, I kind of black out after these, cause I have so many, but I do remember like, you know, you were a Lyran starseed and you used to be, like on the Federation, like the council of something Federation. And the way I saw her was just like, there were these like fleet of like, they looked like planes, but they were like alien planes. They were very like short. And she was just racing through the galaxies and she was the commander. So like, you have just been so important in so many of your lives. And I always find it interesting with these like karmic relationships too, because I think it can give people so much closure. And, I just had a client the other day who I told her that it was interesting when I was doing the reading before, cause I meditate on your energy and I get all of the messages and I see all your lives before. And then we go over it during the reading. And when I was doing it before, I saw her standing in front of this giant clock tower waiting for a man. And, the message was like, tell her to stop waiting. Like, he's not going to come around. And I was like, it feels like it's her boyfriend. Well, when I did the reading, she was like, oh, it must be my ex. I like my boyfriend. And I was like, oh, okay. Like that makes sense. Then she texted me yesterday and said that she knew it was her actual boyfriend when I was doing the reading. She just like couldn't believe that I had said that. And she felt really uncomfortable about it. And she's like, and after you did that, I just felt like I've been waiting for so long and I knew it was about him and we broke up and I feel so much better.
Wow.
And so I was like, that's awesome. Like, that's exactly what I like hope to happen with this work, is that it empowers you to make decisions that you were on the fence about. It's also interesting too, how people's like soul purpose can be so much different than what they portray online. Cause I never look anybody up when I do the readings, cause it just interferes with what I get. But there was another client who her soul was very like childlike, and her sole purpose was actually like, she would have been so happy just to bake bread. And I told her that her happiest life was that she was just a bread maker, like roaming around the city, delivering bread in her little blue dress. And she freaked out. She was like, I've never told anybody this before. All I want to do is bake bread. I've never like all this stuff. And then, I was like, oh, that's cool. After the reading, I look her up and she's like a lingerie model. And I was like,
God.
This is why I don't look anybody up, because people are so different. Their soul is so different than what they portray on social media or anywhere. It's a really good lesson to not believe anything anyone shows you on social media. But like, yeah. So when I do these readings, I see the essence of your soul. I don't see what your human is up to or like what mask you're wearing. You know, I just see what you really are on the inside. So that was pretty cool. And I feel like, as far as like alien past lives, I haven't told anyone this. This is kind of cool. I like want to talk about this on TikTok, but I'm also terrified because the TikTok trolls are real. But there's a lot of us who really, so I don't know if you saw, I made a video about how hell isn't real.
Yeah, I love that video.
Thanks. One of the reasons I feel so strongly about that is I actually have felt this really strong connection to Jesus my whole life, and I'm not Christian, and I was raised Hindu. So there's no reason for me to feel connected to him. And for several months now, I've been getting the own like intuitive feeling that I was actually, one of his apostles. And I then got actually in one of my other past life readings for myself that after I left Earth, Jesus has been like going around the galaxies, like going to different planets, trying to raise their vibration. And so I was with him on the planet Orion, trying to help raise their vibration. So I've been attracting a lot of clients who were with me on these missions. And it's really interesting because when I ask them, like if they're religious, usually they have some story of how they were raised Christian or have fallen away from Christianity, but at like dream of Jesus, miss him, feel like, well, one client said that she dreams every night of him and is always like, no, please come back. And so there's like all these people that are like, we're like soul family. So I'm always able to tell if like they were on a mission with me, but some of them like have been on Sirius to raise the vibration. Cause it seems like the planet Sirius used to be high vibe. And then there was like a little bit of like reptilian infiltration. So then Jesus has to go back in, and I call it like the Jesus troop. It's like, he just like takes his favorite souls with him to like different planets to raise their vibration. So a lot of clients have had like very recent lives on other dimensions or other planets trying to raise their vibration. So that has been coming up a lot, which I think is really cool. That's also why I felt so strongly about that, because I'm like, y'all just keep twisting the friggin' message. Like,
yeah,
he is like always talking to me, always. So, I mean, I don't tell anyone that because I think I sound a little bit crazy, but he's always telling me like, no, can you just like help me, you know, can you please just go tell them like what I meant by this? And so it's constantly like, I mean, I talk to my spirit guides all the time, but after that video, I was like, are you happy with this? And like, how this is going? Cause all the angry Christians were coming after me, but I really did feel like there were people who needed to hear that. And I think that the fear-based religion is going to die soon. And I just think that any message that was like infiltrated to be taken negatively is going to come out and be transmuted into the light. So that's kind of a cool one that I haven't told anyone yet.
I love how you said that Jesus was, well, he's basically an extraterrestrial or multidimensional being, right? Because my other friend, her aunt channels as well. And she says that he was an Arcturian or something like that, that he wasn't even like from Earth or whatever.
No, he's not even from here. That's the thing. It's like, he's, and he probably has lived on multiple. I have always felt like he was Pleiadian, but, you know, he was just a light worker. He was just an extraterrestrial that came here to help raise Earth's vibration. And, you know, the world wasn't ready for it. And they took that message of light and they turned it into evil, as they do. And, you know, now a whole new generation of light workers is trying to restore the original message again. It's like, I feel very strongly about that. And just his original message has been so like misconstrued, and it's really upsetting. And I feel like that's another thing about past lives. If you don't want to get a past life reading, but something really upsets you and you have no context for it, like you weren't raised in it, or it's not something that you've been like told your whole life, and you're like, why do I have this unexplainable connection to this? It's probably a past life thing. So explore that and don't like beat yourself up for it. Cause for a long time I was like, why do I love Jesus so much? Why do I care so much about this guy's message? And now I finally realize why. And so I just have stopped like overthinking it, and it becomes nice because after that, I don't have to like worry, am I a Christian or this or that? It's not about labels. It's just about living a past life with someone and really loving them then. And yeah, of course, you know, love doesn't die. That's like the most powerful emotion. So of anything that's going to be like preserved through lifetimes, it's going to be love.
Yep, that makes sense with my karmic relationship. Okay. I'm not to like switch topics, but you do talk about this a lot on your content, and I love it. Manifesting versus reality transurfing. And I'm very, very interested to learn more about reality transurfing because I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I got a lot of backlash about this because people were like, you're just restating the law of attraction. So I have introspected about this. I do think there's some truth to that. And after like trying to figure out what people are saying, I think, you know, there's labels are useful to the extent that it helps you compartmentalize things. So the way that I view reality transurfing is it's basically about shifting timelines. So it's not about like, it's not about pushing for the thing, but just kind of like effortlessly shifting to a place where it's already true. I think that the results are very similar. Obviously both take you from where you are to where you want to be, but the techniques are very different. So reality transurfing really focuses more on non-importance and, you know, not putting anything on a pedestal and really just like not making anything a big deal. So it's about like holding a vision, but also I really do think it causes you to be more grateful, because with the law of attraction and manifestation, you're constantly thinking about what you don't have and you're actually manifesting the lack of that, I think. Whereas with reality transurfing, it's like, say I want to, and I really do believe that I shifted into this timeline with because I had nothing. And then over a month I've blown up on TikTok, and but I do think it's because I made it not important in my head. And it was something that I was just like, yeah, this is going to happen for me and it's not a big deal. And so it's about like reducing importance and avoiding like strong emotions about anything. Like, you know, if something makes you really upset, it's about just like saying no to that and not allowing that to influence how you view your reality. Does that make any sense? I feel like I don't know that. But I don't think that you have to like go and get the book or anything like that. I think Vadim Zeland has a lot of like interesting ways of phrasing it, but at the end of the day, it is about bringing in things you want to quote manifest. It's just that with reality transurfing, I think the methods are better because they allow you to stay more neutral. They allow you to not place so much importance on the thing, so that it causes you to focus more on like your spiritual journey. Because the external can change all at once, but if you don't have a strong foundation inside, then you won't be happy, even if you have hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. So that's why I like reality transurfing better.
Is it kind of like reality? Because there's different terms for it, but is it like reality shifting? Is that like the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, I only started reading about that after people started telling me that it was that. And I think all names are very similar. And I think it is a lot of that. I think it's shifting timelines, you know? And it's about knowing that the way I think about it is that, one, with manifestation, I always felt like it was like resistance. Like you were clawing for this thing that you knew could exist. With reality transurfing, it's about how there's this thing called a space of variations. So there's every single life you could ever think of, it already exists. It's just about like, and these branches crisscross at different places. So say I'm here, I need to walk to the place where my branch crisscrosses the branch of the life that I want. And then I just jump onto that life, you know? That visual for me is a lot easier. And that affects the way that I think about visual, like manifesting and visualizing. And if I go into it with a feeling of like, that's easier, then what I want comes easier, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do think a lot of it is also about like how the technique affects your nervous system, because one technique might make your heart rate spike, and then that's going to be harder for you to do because it's revving you up too much. Whereas for me, reality transurfing keeps me calm while I'm thinking about what I want. And then that allows me to come to it easier. So if manifestation doesn't give you a panic attack, like it does for me, then do it. But you know, if it does, and you want to go, if you want a technique that feels easier in your body, then I do like this one better.
Dolores Cannon talks about this, like the different timelines of how, when you think of a choice and you choose the other choice, like if you think of two choices and you think of them in depth and then you choose one side, but the other one is still in your head, it creates another timeline. And she talks about how some of her clients, cause she does the hypnotherapy, have kind of shifted back and forth and create glitches in the matrix. It's so, so interesting just to hear about that. And like they hop into different like time, like this girl woke up in the 80s and then the next day she was back in time. Like it's so crazy how timelines work. I don't even understand time. I'm trying to like dive into that right now, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that is so cool. I love Dolores Cannon. I need to read more into that, but yeah, I've had some trippy, weird shit happen to me too. That's why I keep feeling like this is a different timeline, because like things that I know I threw away 3 years ago, the other day, I know that I threw this thing away 3 years ago because it was like a big thing and I threw it away because it was about an ex-boyfriend. I've moved 3 times since I had that item. I'm on a walk and it just shows up in a rose bush.
What?
And it was like a very specific thing. There was only one of them. I got it at like a vintage shop. It was like a very specific, and I'm like, not even near my apartment, like a block or two away. And I'm like, what? And that's why I'm like convinced I've like shifted into a different place. Cause that's always like my clue that I something like changed, is I'll find things I know I've lost and they'll be in weird ass places that they couldn't have otherwise been. And like just crazy stuff. And then like, before that, I dropped this ring off the balcony and I went downstairs. I couldn't find it anywhere. I gave up. And then 6 months later, it's just sitting on the counter. And I come in and I'm like, John, to my boyfriend, I'm like, did you put this here? And he's like, no, it's been there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you didn't ignore it. Like our dog didn't bring it in or something. He's like, no, it's been there. And I'm like, she's never gotten that. Cause that's the only possible like solution I could think of. I didn't find it. He didn't find it. So I'm like, the dog must've brought it in, but I, and, or him have been with her every single time. So how could it have ended up here? And on top of that, there was a tornado and a hurricane in between when the ring like fell down and came here, which I like the whole, like everything in the complex was swept away. So how could this little ring not have been swept away?
Yeah.
I think those are other signs that you've shifted timelines, is when weird trippy glitches like that happen. I haven't woken up in the 80s, but I mean, like, I just think that's freaking crazy. Like I still get chills when stuff like that happens. So yeah.
Wow. I think I would have thought that I was going crazy. Like, you know, people who aren't aware of this stuff, they probably are like, I'm going crazy. Like, this is it.
I know. And do you ever wonder how many people have been like misdiagnosed with like schizophrenia or, you know, whatever, because they were like enlightened and were seeing things that other people couldn't see. And then the system medicated them and took away their power. You know what I mean? And that's not to say that it's everyone, but I always think about that. I'm like, people would have said I was delusional. They would have hospitalized me for a visual like hallucination, you know?
Yeah. So I always think that not all, but most of like mental health issues, or what are considered in the system mental health issues, are like psychic gifts or experiencing something like a glitch or something. And then mm-hmm. they get medicated. Like I always talk about this because I talk about conspiracy theories on my podcast. That's a side note, guys. When she read me, she did not know anything about me. So when she was talking about my past life, it was insane about revealing secrets. But in relation to Kanye West, because Kanye, they all say he's bipolar and stuff. And I honestly think they just medicated him to shut him up and just to mess up his memories and stuff, because he was trying to kind of expose everything that was going on in the industry and stuff. So I always think about that. I'm always like, I don't think a lot of people are as crazy as the mm-hmm. system thinks, you know?
I've said the exact same thing about Kanye too. So that's so funny you bring him up. Like, I used to be like, I love Kanye, and my friends would, because I'm a doctor, my friends would be like, he needs to be medicated. And I was like, no, he's just a genius and you guys don't understand.
Yes. Thank you. He was actually on Joe Rogan's podcast like a couple months ago, and I was watching it, and he sounds so intelligent. He knows, like, but on a, I think because I know more of the spiritual side to it too, and other people were like, he's talking crazy, like what is he saying, we're all connected, what, like, and I was like, no, he makes sense, I understand.
Yeah, no, and you get it, like everybody gets it, they're just intentionally forgetting, because it's like, if you decide to accept that we're all connected, then you have to look at everything in your life again, and people don't want to take, they don't want to do that work. Like, that's why the, like, it, even things that are good take work, you know, like shadow work that leads to something good, but it's a lot of work. So yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times it's also their egos not wanting to like admit that they're in the quote unquote wrong. I mean, nothing's right or wrong. It's all neutral, but you know what I mean?
Totally. I totally hear you.
Okay. So how can we connect to our spirit guides? Because I need help with this too. I mean, I know I always talk to them and I think I hear them, but sometimes I think it's my own thoughts. So how do mm-hmm. we connect with them?
Honestly, this is why I do readings, because for me, I had to have, I mean, the first, okay, I'll try to explain this better. When you have a reading and somebody connects to your spirit guides, it feels a lot more credible, since you don't know them, since there's no way they could, like, when you feel like you're connecting to them yourself, I always have been like deluded myself into being like, okay, you're just making this shit up, you know? Yes, like
me.
Your head. But when somebody else comes to you and without knowing you, without having any way of knowing what you're doing, when they like validate all that to you, that helps you strengthen your intuition, because then you start to believe, you know, in what your own messages are saying. Until somebody else gives you that, I feel like maybe some people can, and I'm jealous of them, but I always would be like, you're full of shit and you're making this up. Like, yeah, that's a nice imagination you've got, like, you know, but once I kept like doing these readings and people would just keep telling me stuff that I'd already like downloaded for myself, I was like, that's actually when I realized like, okay, I can do this. That's not to say that you have to have a reading at all. I think the other ways of doing it are to do like guided meditations. And then, you know, I have somebody that helped me. Her name is Nikki Novo. I'll give you her information. You can maybe leave it for people, but she's like another shaman. And I think she has a course on it with like a guided meditation. But the only way really is to ask and set the intention that spirit guides for your highest good would reveal themselves to you, and then pay attention to what comes in and then try to believe it, you know? And that's the hardest part, is believing what you're hearing, because like, I don't know, if someone can figure that out, then they need to teach me, because, you know, like I almost like the reason I now believe I can do this is because I've done it enough to believe that, okay, it's resonating with people. So I think I can do this, you know? And I just want to normalize that self-doubt for people, because it's very much part of the journey. It's not like you just wake up one day and you're like, I know my spirit guides and I have transcended all. Like, no, it's a lot of it is like, is this real? Am I crazy? And then just like continuing to trust messages that come in, and seeing what happens, which is why I think the awareness piece is so important. So one thing you can do that always helps me is, journal about it. So set a little intention before and write, like, I intend, again, like I said, like I intend that spirit guides acting for my highest good and the highest good of all would make themselves known to me and speak to me through this journaling. And then I write a question and I literally would label it like V, like Vandita colon, like, what are you trying to teach me right now? And then whatever comes in, like this is the challenge, not challenging what comes in, but then whatever comes in, just start automatically writing it down. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, even if it feels like it's just from your head, because it is from your spirit guides. You just have to believe that it is. But I'll tell you that everything gets so much more magical once like somebody else tells you that what you're saying, and then you start to feel like everything's just a dream and like, it's so beautiful. But in reality, like you've done this yourself all along, you know, you just needed someone to come in and validate it. So that's my best advice, is just meditating and then journaling and asking very specific questions too can help.
Okay. Well, ask for me, cause you told me in my reading that some other beings are trying to manipulate my thoughts. So how do I mean, after our reading, so for those listening and are confused, I'll probably do a little intro in the intro and explain what she told me. But she basically said that when I was around 2 to 4 years old, there were beings that were trying to, I guess, manipulate my thoughts into what they wanted me to live out and say to other people and stuff. And It wasn't until after our reading that I was like, okay, you guys, you have no power over me. I step into my power. You guys can't touch me or include any thoughts or anything. So like, how do I do that?
Well, first of all, I already feel that you have, because I can feel the shift. Like before it felt like there were like there was energy very close to you. And now I feel like there's a nice big energetic bubble. But I think it's about making sure you don't get lazy with like your protection rituals. So every morning and every night, like I told you, when you're most vulnerable, which is like when you're coming in and out of sleep, is to set an intention and be like, only beings acting for my highest good will be allowed into this space. I have complete and total sovereignty over all of my decisions. Spirit guides, please protect me from any intervening thoughts or beings that are trying to control me. And then just, I also like to, if you can visualize, I like to really visualize this like pyramid of white light over me, with like me and my spirit guides inside, but like nothing else can come in, and I choose what goes out. I do this before all my readings because I take in a lot of other people's energy, and then it can start to like affect me, especially if you're an empath and you feel everyone else's shit anyway. Like it's really important to do this kind of thing. And then just check in with yourself, you know, when you have a thought that doesn't feel like yours, like check in with how it makes you feel. Feelings are your barometer for whether something is truth or not, you know? So like, check in like, okay, does this make me feel good? Does it make me feel expanded? Does it make me feel excited? Or does this make me feel confused, off course, inauthentic, you know? And if you feel like it's the latter, be like, okay, again, I'm asking that all beings that are not for the highest good, leave the room. You're not invited. And they will leave. For the most part, they will always leave. So that's what I would suggest, is just continuing to make sure you stay anchored in that, because you do, like your spirit guides aren't going to intervene without your consent. So if you want them to protect you, you have to ask for it. Free will is like the crux of this universe. So yes, there's a lot of like karmic contracts, but every single decision you actually do have free will over. So you want to make sure that anytime that you, and no like being of light is ever going to come in without your like invitation. So just always like invite them in, and then, you know, thank them for their presence, and then do that constantly. It's just about making it a consistent practice, I think.
So along with that, because I wanted to talk about this. So because they were trying to infringe on my free will, but you said those beings weren't precisely malevolent, but they were only trying to mess with me because of my past life.
Yeah.
Do you think that in my past life, I was like an asshole to them, and then they were like, I'm going to be an asshole to you in this lifetime?
did not feel that. It's possible, but not for you. I didn't feel that. I felt like it was more so that they were these like, the way I can only describe them as like these childlike beings that were like kind of immature, and they were just like, "Ooh, look, the priestess is human form. Like, let's go take her and try to see if we can get her to do our bidding for us." Like, they were just like experimenting and trying to see what they could get out of you. And it wasn't like to screw you over. They were just like amazed at this, like, high, imagine the president of like the world being a child again, and you could like, you know, trick them. It was that they were like, "Oh my gosh, like, she used to be our commander, and now look, she's a human." And like, they're just like twiddling their thumbs, trying to like mess around, see what they can do, you know? And you're much more powerful than them, but they're just like these little, like, it's like a little kid pulling your strings. That's what they're doing. So, I didn't feel like you had done anything wrong to them. I think they were just like pushing boundaries and trying to see how much they could get this like high priest commander, like, alien being to do while they're in human form. So it felt much more like they're just trying to bother, like they're just being irritating more than anything else, if that makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah. All right, so let's talk about the afterlife, and then like your video about hell. I love that. You can restate it and everything. Like, what is your perception of that?
Well, I don't believe in hell. I think hell is a metaphor. I think that, okay, there's many things about the afterlife, and I don't know for sure, but I'll tell you what I believe to be true. If it resonates, take it. If not, please leave it. But, you know, when you die, like, you do have to take inventory of all the decisions you've ever made. And you do like have this very rapid, I think, feeling of like, if you've caused pain, you will feel that pain in that moment. That's what factors into when you decide to come back in your next life and make your different decisions about what you want to experience and what you want to learn. So yes, you have to, like, there are consequences for your actions, and they come through in the terms of karma that you choose and having to take inventory of your life after you die. But every single person goes to the same place of love and light. Like, everybody goes back into that universal source essence, because we're all just part of God. You know, we're all part of like all that is. So it would be like your right hand condemning your left hand to like, to be tortured forever. You wouldn't do that. It's still, you know, like, you don't have a favorite hand. And even if your left hand like gets you into trouble, you still need it, you know? Yeah. So it's like we all go to that same place of love, and we like rest there for a while until we choose how we want to live our next incarnation. And it never stops, because source itself is always expanding. So we are always expanding. We're always wanting to experience more, experience differently, you know, continuing to evolve as souls so that we can get closer to the whole experience of being like source consciousness. But source consciousness is also always constantly expanding. So it never ends. You know what I mean? Like, how could there be a finite hell and heaven when it never ends? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, there is a book that has like heavily informed my whole like view of the afterlife called Conversations with God. It's not like a Christian book or anything. It's just God, general God. And it's, you can take it or not, but it is really interesting how it talks about like choosing to come back and how everybody goes to heaven. And he even talks about like how Hitler went to heaven. And in the book, like, the guy's like so aghast. He's like, "How could Hitler gone to heaven?" But it just explains it like everyone goes to heaven, you know, like there's nothing else besides heaven. Why would I create a hell when I chose to make you? Like, you know, I love you. Like, it doesn't matter if you mess. It says that God views us just like kids. If a kid messes up, like, you're not going to sit there and be like, "You're condemned forever." It would be like silly little one, like, get up and like, let's try again. You know, like, that's exactly what they do. It's just like, so, and all of our mistakes, like, again, the physical plane is an illusion. So no matter how bad of a mistake we make here, it's still just an illusion. There's always a chance to come back. Death isn't finite. So even the worst people get a second chance, you know? So, but that doesn't mean that they don't have to like grapple with the consequences of what they did, or, you know, learn the emotional mastery of the karma that they caused. But there's no place where you go burn forever. And I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know.
Definitely.
I can't even say it without laughing, because it just sounds so ridiculous. But some people, I mean, that's what I think of the afterlife. But again, I mean, it's probably a little bit of everything, and there's probably parts of it that we don't get to know because it would take away the fun of it. So that always does help me though, after people pass away, because people are like, "How could they have died so young?" But I'm like, I know they're happier. Like, there's no comparison between that life and this, you know? But they will come back, because you get bored. Like, what are you going to do? Just sit there forever, forever, literally forever. Like, you're going to want to do something. You're going to want to come back, you know? So there's always rest and there's always peace in between lives, but we're always going to keep doing it just for the fun of it. It's just like very simple. It's just for the fun of it, you know?
And it might not always be on the 3D earth. It might be in different dimensions. Like how I've most of my past lives have not been mostly on earth. So
yours, like I saw that you were on earth like 2000 years ago. And then again, once like 300 years ago. And then now, like it's been a lot of time in between where you have been on other dimensions. So yeah, life doesn't always, I think somebody told me once this is my 256th past life, but not all of them have been on earth. You flip flop around, you get to go wherever you want. You have like so much, it's like creative control. It's like a free, like you said, it's a video game. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It's funny that after our reading, I've just been like analyzing my life and stuff. And ironically too, my mom and I have been creating a photo album because we have so many boxes of photos of when we were kids, and we were looking through it and like, the way I portrayed myself as a kid, like expressing myself with no care in the world, right? It was so weird. Like I was SpongeBob one year for Halloween, but I was like all yellow. Like I went full force and I was like the only weird kid like dressed up. And then for my second grade photo, I wore this like Chinese like dress that we got in Chinatown. My mom was like, yeah, you're obsessed with that thing. Like you just wanted to wear it all the time. And like, you begged me to buy it for you. And like, I had like a bowl cut haircut and like, I was just so weird. I was just like looking back and I was like, that makes sense. Cause I don't know. Like, I don't know how to be Cupid. I don't know how to.
Exactly. That's so funny. I love that. It's like such a good example, but yeah, you were just like, I don't know. Can I wear this? And you like, and you didn't have any rules. Like you hadn't taken on the full human conditioning. And I think, Kelsey, that's what allows you to be so good at this work, is that you haven't fully been conditioned because you just are not really from here. So you're able to see through all the BS so much like easier. And you also like have a little bit less fear because of the fact that it still seems like ridiculous and silly to you that people would do all this crap. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that really helps you. I think it works in your favor.
I mean, it's kind of hard sometimes trying to explain a lot of the things that I see or how I see things, because then people take it the other way and they're like, oh, you're so insensitive. Like, why aren't you seeing it this way and stuff? And it's just like, because I see right through it.
Yeah. And we need people like that, because there's some people who have had nothing but human experiences. And those people, I feel for them, they really struggle. But people who have had at least a few more like alien experiences, or have at least had human lives where they've learned a lot and become very spiritual, like they do tend to have an easier time. So it's just about knowing that like everyone's on a different journey, like level and of evolution. And, you know, you'll never be able to explain it to people like that, because they just haven't gone through it yet. They have no frame of reference, you know?
Yeah. Oh, there was another thing that I wanted to mention, because when you were doing my reading and you said, you were like, I don't know if you know this, but like the government's full of reptilians and stuff. And this is, I don't know, before you saw my content and stuff, but I talk about them all the time. I was that's so funny that you mentioned that, because I talk about them all the time. But do you think that they have a huge influence on our world right now? Have you tapped into anyone who has like any connections to them or anything like that, other than how they're up my butt?
I have not tapped into that really. And I think a lot of it is my own fear. And so I am limited by my fear, right? So like, I can only see as much as my ego will allow me. So like, there's a lot of ego debt that needs to come for that too. But I feel that they do have a lot of control, but I also feel that, like I said, we're at a tipping point and they are like grappling. They're like, it's their last ditch fucking effort to just like regain control. And I don't think it's going to work. Like, I see it all happening. I don't think they're going to be able to get full control. I think there's some people who just like love to be controlled. And there's a lot of humans that love to be controlled, but the people coming out of like the woodwork I see much more in terms of numbers than the reptilians. But all that to say, like, they do still have an insane amount of control. It's going to be a long journey. It's a long road. I don't want to make it sound easy. It's not. And I think that's why I get afraid of it, but like, I'm going to start doing more into that. So ask me in 6 months, because I think I'm going to, like, as you're saying that, I'm like, I need to work through this. So I need to like, see what they're up to. It's almost like once I feel like I know I can see what they're doing. And it's like, once I see it, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about it. And that's what's that's what's keeping me back from looking. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably can sympathize with that as well.
Have you ever looked up Elizabeth April?
I love her.
Me too.
I love her. I don't listen to her stuff all the time. Like, I've listened to like one podcast from her. But I think that girl knows what she's talking about. She's very, very talented too. She's a very good channeler. So
I watch her videos religiously, and I just watched her newest one, which was released on Sunday, but she was talking about how, well, someone asked her a question, because every Sunday she has questions. So on Sunday, someone asked about Antarctica and what they do there and like the cloning and stuff. And she said that one time she was astral traveling there, and one of the reptilians, I guess they have guards, like astral guards that keep the whole place like on lockdown. They like pushed her out because she said that she forgot to wear an invisibility cloak and they saw her. But I guess they have guards over everything. So guards over like the White House, like astral guards over Area 51 and all this stuff. But she sometimes does get through and she sees what's going on. And then she was also talking about like the kids underground and how some of the reptilians now are so fed up with like the dark malevolent ones. Like they're splitting up almost. Like some of them are becoming benevolent. Yeah. And yeah, they're helping, which is amazing.
That's exactly what I've been seeing. That's really cool that she said that, because I've been seeing that too. Like there has been a shift in some of the reptilians. Like there's especially the ones in celebrities. Like I'm seeing that there's a lot more celebrities who are turning away from the dark side and are coming out into the light, and they're just like they got mired in it. Like they were young and they were allowed themselves to be manipulated into like doing the dark work, but now they're kind of like seeing the light and they're coming back out. So I think that that's what I'm seeing is like the critical mass, is that like a lot of people who used to help them are going to turn their backs on them now. So that's really cool that she says that. I didn't know that. That makes me feel a little, see, this is what I needed. I needed that. Now I feel a little bit less crazy.
Yeah, you should definitely watch her like latest videos. They talk a lot about like what's going on currently with everything in the chaotic world. And yeah, it helps me too, like to like level everything out, because I don't pay attention to news. I know I say ignorant to current events, but it's so much fear mongering and so much low vibration that I can't.
Yeah, totally, completely agree.
All right, so to wrap it all up, do you have any other advice? What advice do you have for strengthening intuition, or if people feel like lost or they feel like they're going crazy, like what can you, I know I'm going to lead them to you to get a reading, but other than that.
I feel like I'm a broken record about this, but I really do think that connecting to something higher than you is like the most important thing you can do. Because if you feel like you're all alone, like life gets so much harder. And yes, there's a lot of like negative polarity beings on the planet, but there's also like a lot of love in this universe, much more than there is badness. And connecting to that, I think, is like the best thing you can do. So if I could just get everybody to go read Conversations, if I could give a copy away to everybody, I would.
What's it called?
Conversations with God. Okay. Just that book that I mentioned before. I just think it's really just the best book ever. I think it's so helpful. And yeah, just connecting with just anything that you can believe in, and leave the labels. If there's a, like, if it's a religion, leave the label of the religion, just take the goodness out of it, and then just really strengthen your belief in that. And I feel like once you realize you're not alone, that you have the support of your spirit guides, of your ancestors, of source energy, like life just starts to get a lot easier. And I think you can start to tap into your intuition more, because you aren't constantly feeling threatened by like negative entities. You know you're protected. So just feeling that protection has been really, really helpful for me. And I hope that it's helpful for other people too.
Amazing. All right, so where can they find you? What's your TikTok, and where can they book a reading with you?
Yeah. So my TikTok is where I'm most active, but it's just at Soul S-O-U-L Coach C-O-A-C-H-V. And then my website is just soulcoachvandita.com. And I'll spell it for you, because I don't have a hard name to spell.
I'll put it in the show notes too, so people can click on it.
Awesome. Yeah. And then if you just go there, you can book a reading. And Instagram, I'm just Soul Coach V there too. But if you ever want to just like DM me or ask questions or anything, feel free, because I'm always happy to answer questions.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on and talking about all this stuff.
I'm so excited. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah, of course. I'm so excited to see your growth. And in 6 months, we'll come back and talk about reptilians more.
I know. I'm going to need to have you I'm starting a podcast soon, actually, hopefully in the next month, but I want to have you on there to tell me all about your secrets, because I know you've got a lot of secrets to share, so I want to hear them.
Awesome. I'm excited for it. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed, and make sure to check out Vendita. I will definitely put it in the show notes, so make sure to look down there. And I hope you guys have an amazing day. All right. Bye, guys.